Blog Talk Radio.
This is a calling in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wasn't this day revealed to us in the personality of His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie I? Everyone that is called by my name, Rastafari, in the form of 500 families, to occupy 500 acres of land, to establish a model city to the world in the land of Ethiopia. The Ethiopian World Federation was established in the United States of America by His Imperial Majesty Emperor Haile Selassie I. This is not a calling for the United States, it's a calling for all the children of the diaspora.
Handout here and there. We want all of our rights.
Sadie Gomez, put your hands together for as you come to the mic at this time.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you so very much, Dr. Van Born, for your kind words and for having me this evening. This is Sadie Gomez, Ethiopian Women's Federation Incorporated, Local 26, hosting your for you this Sunday, wonderful Sunday evening. Our topic this evening, what happens when a man cannot live up to his teachings? We are talking about Mr. Derrick Jackson. We are talking about Trump supporter Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz. He's under investigation for having an affair with a minor and bringing her across cross lines, which would be considered kidnapping or child trafficking, because this is a minor we're talking about. We want to know what are your thoughts here. For this wonderful Sunday evening of talk, we examine Derrick Jackson. He goes as Derrick Jackson. This guy, a relationship consultant, for a very long time, has advised women on how to save their relationships with your husband, your boyfriend, and for a long time, he has been advising these helpless women of how life should go. Along the way, however, he has been very, very hard on the men as well, because he's telling men of how deadbeat they are, what a waste of time men, how to strike a good man. And women, for the most part, were very much interested because we want to know what's going on with our life when we think of life like that. However, this guy, he was unable to keep his part of the bargain in terms of while he was busy telling us how to live, he himself was having extramarital affairs, and one would not have found out until his girlfriend came forward. And she said, well, she blew everything wide open. And here he had to come, apologizing, of course, with the wife by his side, you know, the women who stand by their men, which is nothing wrong with that. But at this point, we are bringing in God and repent and who's under attack, when this man was clearly using his masculinity to engage women, and they were very well engaged. Some women complimented him and his manhood and how well they were pleased and pleasured along the way. However, we look at these guys, but there's another guy, a relationship, an image consultant. His name is Kevin. They're all over the internet these days. It's Kevin Samuel. He himself was found, you know, almost putting down a woman. But should we say putting down, or is he just dealing with the facts? There was a case where one special woman asked that she was looking for a man of a certain caliber, or should I say pocket range. And he was telling her quite clearly that she did not fit up into the top 10 position, so she should lower her standards a little bit. So we see this type of image consultant, whether you know true or false, but women are here at the mercy of these men who are telling you how to look, and of course they are measuring you on their scale, of course. And what are we saying? We are seeing ourselves through the eyes of these men who, I mean, there's no problem when you can give advice of how to live, but if you can live it yourself, if the advice can be taken. So we are watching another case of Matt Gaetz. He's in trouble more than he thinks he is, really. But listening to this bizarre situation, I heard Matt Gaetz, I had to give him the benefit of the doubt. He was there in Chris Tucker's show, and he said he got a phone call, and people were asking his family for $25 million not to bring out a story about his life with some sex trafficking. So he said it's extortion. This never happened, whereby he had these sexual pleasures or escapade. But I'm saying, you know, every great man at some point is being taken down, and sex is normally it's a big hook to take you under, especially, you know, if you know you're running a bit crooked or so. But here we are examining whether Matt Gaetz is going to admit to what he has done or has not done, or what is the media doing. Now we are looking to see these men are under fire, but is there another motive why these men are under fire? You know, what are your thoughts on all of this? But to think, if these men, as we see Derek Jones clearly is a narcissist, simply because he has the beaten, broken down wife who is coming at his defense. I mean, when a man cheats, he cheats. And some men cheat and some men don't. I'm not going to say all men cheat, but there's a certain thrill men get when they cheat, a certain power as well. And sometimes it doesn't matter if the woman is pretty, beautiful, shapely or whatever. Some men actually cheat with the opposite to the woman they have. I remember even Christie Brinkley, such a beautiful woman with everything going on, yet her husband, he found it necessary to cheat with a maid. I mean, that was quite ironic because he just bring her down to the level of the maid. But, you know, who's checking? You know, men do what men do. But here we are examining the fact that there are a lot of pretense with these image and relationship consultants that are on the internet really luring young women for their sexual escapades, because they are doing therapy in hotel rooms and in private apartments that they do own, which is giving them extra power over the woman. Of course, you know, broken, beaten down woman telling you about the relationship she has and how bad the man was and everything to her. And here, you know, she's looking for advice, hoping that something can be done, and she's further thrown, you know, into a darker hole. And a case of, you know, your mind is already in such a dark place, having have a partner who has played with you in such a way, and now you're faced with such a case of having someone examine you, call a relationship expert. But we know in conclusion, they are healthy women, they are broken women, and of course they are toxic women, all of which, you know, as a man, you're going to walk in within your lifetime with one of these women. So we are not all innocent as women, but we are looking here and examining the human experience, but we are examining also when you walk the walk, you talk the talk, if you say you can do it, you should live by example. You should let you be that shining light when you see you want to give advice, so people can at least watch your lifestyle and they can develop similar patterns of their own. A lot is going on in the news, however, as we look again, we see we are not trying to forget the George Floyd murder case that is going on right now, and we are hoping it's not swept somewhere far under the rug where this policeman is going to skip. So far, it's been very provocative in the news. We even saw a big man cry just trying to talk about the racist situation. But here we are examining all things this Sunday. So for my listening audience this evening, your mics is open. I see we have a call on the line. Hold time, so call us 561-356. You're on the line. What are your thoughts this evening?
Oh, Mike, good evening, sister. How are you?
Good, good, my brother.
Good, good. Yeah, and I also heard the man behind the mic, Dr. Winsborn.
Yeah.
How are you, sir? Oh, maybe he went he went for a cup of coffee.
No. I'm doing, we're broadcasting from a different location. I happen to be out of town. I'm outside, and the train was coming by, so I just put everything on mute.
On mute.
But I've been listening, and I do think one thing I want to say, though, based on what our wonderful, lovely host, Ms. Sadie Gomez, has said, and that is this.
Thank you.
Is a woman that's going to a hotel room crying to another man about her relationship. What does she think is on that other man's mind in that hotel room? Is she surprised? No, she went there for that purpose, perhaps even hoping something would happen. I mean, in my opinion, I mean, like, how, like, you know, it's like Desiree Washington going to Mike Tyson's room at 2 o'clock in the morning. What are you going up there for? What happens in a hotel room at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Maybe you never know. They probably went for tea.
Yeah, they went for prayer. They was having prayer service.
No, they only went for keen.
Don't get me started. The show just started. Don't get me started.
You know what I mean? Hey, you never know. She maybe was thirsty. She said, let me go get some tea.
Yeah, she was thirsty, all right. They was thirsty, all right.
Yeah. Maybe she ran out of sugar. Maybe, you never know. She might have ran out of sugar.
Yeah. Mhm. Yeah, they got free sugar in the hotel room too.
That's going to be diabetes if you ask me.
With the 2 tea bags of coffee. Go ahead. I seen them rooms. I'm sorry, man. I don't want to make light of the situation, but I'm just saying, like I've heard these gentlemen that do these consultations. But the moment I say to you, well, meet me at the hotel, I'm going to be in town, I'm going to be in my hotel, I'm going to be in this, come on by and we'll talk about it. If she comes by, this is not a new phenomenon. That's not a new practice. You know what I mean? That's not a new practice. So I find it hard that this woman, that they got complaints. But obviously, according to you, they're not complaining. They actually giving him credit. So God bless the whole situation.
Well,
but
the
yeah,
only
God
person
bless you,
was
I'm
complaining. The only person was complaining really was the mistress, who decided that Mr. Jackson has to be outed for the simple reason of his hypocrisy, because she was now in 8 months in the relationship, and of course her demands would have been growing because day one has passed and now she's 8 months in and probably liking the situation, you know, happy the boyfriend probably left her even. And now, of course, he's doing these live right in front of his mistress' house. So again, it's a case of a power play where he is telling these helpless women to leave these trifling men that they owe it. And he was holding this great stance. Even, you know, other men had to come and weigh in, because you find that women were taken up with this guy, and all along he was pretending all along, because he was using his platform to lure these women for his sexual escapades. And the story only burst 2 weeks ago, but he was doing this because he has been in the business for over 10 years. So Lord knows how healthy his job has been for him, you know. So we are looking at this type of guy and, you know, who is he really? And for us women who are vulnerable and we see, you know, our images are suffering because we have, you know, we look up to the man to kind of validate us, you know, some of us women or most of women. And, you know, it's necessary at some point to stimulate you as a woman. So you have this guy and now he's, instead of helping you, look what he's doing. And he has done it because about four different women came forward. So we have seen a different kind of Lou. And, you know, what do we do with a man like this? Because he straight-faced watches you and tells you he is a therapist. But look what kind of therapy he's putting us under. So I'm opening the mic again, back on to you callers. I'm opening the mic of 929-303. Your mic is open. Our conversation for this evening, we're examining these men who practice, they cannot practice what they preach. Go on, Paul.
Yes, greetings and blessings in the name of the Emperor, Haile Selassie, and the Ethiopian World Federation. Well, it goes vice versa, because we are feeling the vibes of everybody in the air, and it's causing men to think different, women to think different, and people thinking more security than any other time. So right now is a time where men trying to take off women and women trying to take off men, other than keeping away from each other. But those that brave are coming out and showing the men exactly what they want, and the men are showing them exactly what they want. So we have to have some kind of concept in bringing reality towards our brothers and sisters, because we need some clarity in our community that we will not have problems like what's happening in the past. That people would love themselves like love other people like how other people love them. And see, love is the big thing that we have in this game. And because we don't get love, it's hard for us to give love, because nobody loving us in America. They treat us so bad. The overall picture, we hear about everybody they treat bad. So we looking at everybody suspicious, woman and man, and everybody looking at everybody, not taking a chance with each other. So we that know each other and have respect for each other and be around each other, not a man and woman thing, is a thing where that you know at least how somebody don't act. They're not going to act out in a bad way. They're going to try to speak for the right. But the women out here today are not looking out for the right kind of men. And we need to have some way that we can teach people in a way that we can bring more influence, because they're not teaching this in the school. And the education, not giving them no education that they're going to get employment. So a lot of people out here have a lot of education and they can't get no employment. They can't do nothing with their hands. So when those time come and we now in this position, we are trying to develop something from a premise of a constitutional level in the Ethiopian Federation, where that we have everything locked down for us, that we can follow a governmental structure and a social welfare program that can bring us better, that we can give young men and young women a rites of passage when they come to age. We give them something where we can go. So we are trying to get the Nyabingi school going, that even if they don't come to school, they can get the books and study, and there will be more where when they come. And we will have a better kind of man, a better kind of woman, that respect each other. And so we will have a better civilization, because we are going into this and we have to have a better living foundation. Living foundation into things that we want to do and we're supposed to do. And the king put the constitution for us in the social welfare program, in the ways and means committees, that we can do these things to prepare the people. And even if we can't make magic work, we can put out a paper in our magazine or our books that let them have some kind of way that they can think better. And with thinking better is changing the diets of food. Because when you change the diet of food and your body become alkaline, you have a different way that you think and absorb things. So we are glad that the opportunity opened for us, because God put everything in this world for everything have its time. And this time we have to try and do something better than the norm. Because we see what the norm took us for 400 years in the countries. We had to bring all the money from all the countries in the world to America. And we are here, and we don't want no obstruction, because the Ethiopian World Federation is number one, number two, and number three. And this weekend is the monarch, the empress birthday, and we are thinking that, you know, what is it that we have to do to bring our women in a better focus and have them working with us and supporting us? We need our people. We don't need all our people going out there and working for other people that don't look for us, because they're not treating us right. It's like the man that's employing us, the white man giving us the Lord's part of the job, the Middle East people not talking to us because we understand them. Who we are? We used to have the Jews, but now the Jews kind of keeping away from us. Who we are? Tell me a nation of people that we are. That's looking out for the black people. Now the Chinese people coming up and trying to join it up because they're getting licked. But who we have Ethiopia, the oldest in the world that we can think about. Let's say world, because that's where life begins, in the Nile. And if we don't think about where knowledge come from and come from in the beginning of time, if it's the Garden of Eden or the other areas, this is the same area. Ethiopia used to control from South Africa and to the other side, north, east, west, north, and south. We're not saying it's so, but we are saying that all people that know our history, we come to do something different than the norm, that the ancestors are coming and giving us information. Not education. We're getting information by our spirit and our psychic powers. So we are looking to deliver some of this information for America, for Ethiopia, because we have most favorite nation status here. And we can't allow nobody to come here and beat off America. That's why the king made this agreement with America. So we are the ones that have the view to do something, and we can reach out and do better than we do it. And we have to reach and treat each other in a spiritual way that we can bring these things out. Because Ethiopia is calling, the people fighting for the land, because all the gold up there, the diamonds and everything up there, the people are in the war. And the clear-skinned people coming over want to take the land. And they wanted to be Ethiopia. Instead of doing set off and take all the land around Ethiopia by fighting, and the king said, take what you want. But no, it's not a time like that, because the children of Ethiopia from the west are coming back to the east. And we're bringing technology and knowledge out to build buildings and the green philosophy to making a better world for our people. We don't want to develop where people taking us off. When you work, they don't pay us. When we talk it, the other people say, oh, you don't have no money. Shut up.
Yes, caller. I do understand, listen, to, you know, your passion for Ethiopia and what we can do more as the Ethiopian World Federation move forward. This is something that, you know, is a responsibility that has to be placed on us, that we ourselves cannot pass the blame, but have to stand up in that fight squad frontline and defend, you know, Ethiopia and Ethiopian World Federation. Also, I like all what you said, you know, it is the last days, and men are really lovers of themselves and boasters, and then it is written, and we see that there would be men in high positions that would be misleading, and we have people who would follow them. But in our conversation as we go today, we're examining, you know, men like that are boasters of really self, you know, teachings that they themselves, they are unable to lift the burden that they have placed upon us when they talk about structure for life. So we are talking about Mr. Derek Johnson, and we are talking about the Trump supporter, Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz, who's under investigation as to his sexual escapades, whether he was there with a minor or whether he's involved any deeper with a sexual ring. But I understand that with a takedown, Mr. Matt Gaetz came on Tucker Carlson's show, and he did say, you know, that there's almost like extortion. They're planning this attack on him and his family to take him under. So this is our topic of conversation for this evening. As we
but you know what, can I interject? Can I
yes,
piggyback
can.
On that? When he was on the Tucker Carlson show, he said to Tucker Carlson, well, you remember the young lady? I went to dinner with you and your wife. And the young lady was there, and he was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, you know, Dr. Winburn, that was the weird
like,
thing, because I looked at that interview,
don't
and Dr. Carlson almost was like, I was not there with you. What? Don't drag me in this mess, you know? And my wife, too, was there? No. This can't be possible. So I'm wondering here. That was weird.
He said this is the weirdest interview I've ever had. I bet it is when your host try to implicate you into his crime.
Yes, and right now, imagine Tucker Carlson is probably getting a call from the FBI. You know, so
right.
He's like, what? So, you know, as we open the mic again for caller 914-363, your mic is open as you're joining conversation for this evening.
Yeah, Ron Robinson. Yeah,
Ron Robinson.
To me, it's a ring of people doing this type of thing. It's a misogynistic society, and basically, like a lady said the other day, these men of certain kind of means and power, connected to certain people, they feel they can do what they want to do, and all it's gonna and you're gonna watch it. It's all gonna turn right back to Epstein. It's gonna come full circle. If you watch it, it's going to come full circle
right.
Back to Epstein, his proliferation of this, bringing women over here from other countries. They've been doing it for years. This is nothing new. I'm telling you, people think this
right.
is new, bringing women from other countries. They got the Russian wives. They got the Chinese wives. They got the Singapore girl. They have these rich men have sites where they go on, where if you want to marry a billionaire, if you want to be with a millionaire, they got these special sites that they have, these dating sites.
Oh, yes.
And girls from all over the world connect to those sites because they want to see. Now, a lot of the countries in Africa would tell you a lot of the young women have been told they're being sent to places to do domestic work. And the
uh-huh.
young girl said when she got there, the man was encouraging her to have sex with him. And then he told her her purpose. When she tried to clean up and do domestic work, he says, no, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to come over here, you know, and please me. So that's a lot
yeah.
of that going on in Asia, Africa, the Caribbean. But it's like when I was in Bangladesh, I lived and teached in Bangladesh for a year or so. When I was there, it was normal. A guy told me that the families, poor families, had so many children, it was normal for them to seek out a wealthy family and give them their daughters and their sons to do work. And I've heard this practice as well in Africa. But the children said when they get there, they get abused, whether it's sexually or mentally or physically, whatever. And so it's like in certain countries, it's normal that if you have a lot of kids and you're poor, that you would I don't know if you call it like renting your kids out or whatever, but they get X amount of dollars for the children to go work with these wealthy people. You know what I'm saying? I know that was a practice in certain countries where I visit as well. You know, I'm not saying that all these people were, you know, it was a cultural thing, it was an economic thing. And I'm not saying that people.
It's a practice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was normal. Even down south, you know, it was normal that if you had a lot of kids and somebody needs some help or work, you would let your child go work there for the day and, you know, make X amount of dollars and come back home, whatever that deal was. But it was a normal. I'm saying it's something that is not spoken. It's not a structure. But I think as time came on in the misogynistic society that we live in, people start using it for their benefit. You know what I'm saying? It went from, and even if you heard, I mean, you can hear for years and years and years, 200 years, 300 years, 40 years, any person or woman that's been, you know, back in the old days, give a person 10 goats or something like that and get a young woman, you know. And I've heard, like, in Yemen and Arab countries, because of the Islamic religion, so-called Islamic religion, you can get a young girl from a family at 5, and then when she get 13, you can engage with her as a wife, you know, whatever that is. But
yeah, that's a practice.
It's a practice around, but I think it takes on a different spin when you're talking about Europe and America. When you talk about rich white men in America, it takes a different spin. You know what I'm saying? They just expect. Because I know back 20, 25 years ago, it was very popular for white men to order a Singapore girl. Singapore girl would put them in a beautiful girl in Asia, put them in the most sexiest girl, and they called them mail order wives. They would actually order these women off a catalog or something like that and have them come to them and serve them. So I think I think what Gats is doing, and then he has some young kid living with him from Brazil. Nobody know how he got the kid. He had adopted a son when the black guy was saying, you know, black kids are getting killed and black parents are concerned. He said, well, I have a kid too of color. He never explained the relationship between him and the boy. I don't know, he was 16 or something like that. I believe he was from Brazil. And he never, because that's the argument he had in the congressional hearing when they were talking about the George Floyd thing. Guess was saying, you know, don't give me that bull, you know, to the black congressman. He said, I got a kid of color as well. And then after that, they were trying to say, and then the news came up and said, what, he never told nobody about it. What is his relationship with the kid? Is the kid coming over here to slave for him? You know, work domestic work for him? Is the kid in school? You know, all these questions came up on this same man, but I never heard about it again. They had it out there for a minute, and they were asking questions. I don't know if they've investigated it, and then somehow the kid popped up and he said, "Yeah, he was in school. Yeah, you know, he's happy, whatever." He had a little interview with the newspaper, but it seemed that this man, he goes to Cuba, Brazil, he goes to certain places, and he gets kids. I don't know how many over what period of time, but this thing right here about the wife, about this girl, it's not unusual, because he's a part of that clique, you know.
Yes,
he's somehow
involved, because he cannot pull himself out totally, because he has pictures taken with other men who are questionable in the sexual ring. So show me your company and I'll tell you who you are. So he's not totally innocent.
Birds of a feather. That's what my mother used to say. Birds of a feather flock together.
There you go. Now you're gonna find Trump, Epstein, Andrew, the so-called Prince King, whatever he is over there in England, the one that they put
the
down.
Royal one.
The royal one. Him. So these are people. Guess is just a little part in his father, probably through his father, he probably got the connection to get in. But he's just a little peed in the pot. He's not even of none of those guys.
He's
standing,
just a drop in the bucket, yeah.
Right. He's a little, he's a little peon, and they let him come in because his father, I believe. But I'm just saying, if you look at it, when you read all these articles about these different people having problems with underage girls and et cetera, et cetera, or once people that go vacation in other countries and they find out that they're going there for certain purposes, you'll find out it's a click. You know, it might not come to you right away, but when you start looking at it, it all goes right back to Epstein, you know.
Oh, yes, and I do believe. Yeah, because you have to be connected, because that's like almost like a secret society, because you find that the girl in question, or sometimes they have young boys too, we can't, you know, put that aside from us, and these individuals are passed around. So you have to be in the clique, because the same women in question with Matt Gaetz has been also in question with another man that was mentioned. So, as you said, he got in with his through his father's notoriety or strength, but it's going to point all around back to Epstein, because Epstein, he had the island whereby all of these sordid acts went on unnoticed. So I can see where it's going to point right back to him. You may continue.
I personally know, just being in certain businesses that I am, rich guys that tell me they go to certain countries and they promise women. I mean, I don't know what the age are, nothing like that. They, you know, but I,
right.
You know, they promised them.
You know, there was a big
them,
thing a
they
few years
them
back.
Citizenship.
Right, but there was a big thing a few years back where the groups of businessmen were flying out to like Taiwan. Thailand.
To
have sex with the underage girls. You know what I mean? 12, 11. 13 and stuff like that.
Yeah, those pedophiles,
and,
right.
Yeah, right. And they were going out of the country where supposedly it wasn't illegal. And they came back to America and got arrested anyway.
Yeah, they're starting to arrest them now in those countries. Those laws have been changed, right? They're starting to arrest those people now. But there was also this thing where men would go to other countries and promise these women citizenship, work permit, come with me, whatever the purpose was. I remember that was going on for years. I remember that back in the 40s and the 50s, they were talking about, men going to other countries and bringing women back with the promise of citizenship, coming to America and all that stuff. Or some of them promised them to be a model or famous actress or something like that. And then when they get here,
to lure them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when they get here, they find out that they're lured into a into slavery. That's what they were talking about. I don't know if y'all remember about a couple of years ago, they were talking about people in Africa being sold into slavery to Europe and America.
Yeah.
Well, there's these women in Africa was telling their story, CNN. They were told that they were going to do domestic work, like I said.
Yeah.
And when they got to the person's home, they found out that, they put the person's sex object, not to do the work, the purpose for them coming. And so I know one girl did a whole thing on the, I don't know if anybody saw it on the news. She did a whole thing on the news saying that she wanted to go back home, because that's not what she came to do. And then there was a little girl in Yemen. She was sold to a man to do to do work. Like I said, the poor family. And then he didn't, according to Islamic law, you can buy these children, these little girls at 6, 7, and 8. People don't talk much about this, but this is real. They can according to Islamic law, they could buy these kids from poor families at 6, 7, 8. The time they get 13 and they have their period, they can engage, according to the law now.
They can engage as a wife.
As a wife, right. Now, this little girl, the way the story came out, she ran to the government or to the police because she was only 9, and this man was trying to, engage with her. And the older wife, because they have several wives, was holding her down.
Yeah.
So these people were actually molesting her. So she ran to the authorities.
They are barbaric.
Well, and the authorities, to show you how evil these people are, the government and the police was telling the little girl, well, according to the law of Islam, you have to go back to him because, you're his wife, whatever, until you become 13, And she was saying, no, he's trying to do something to me now, But it's all that stuff like that. All that stuff has been around for a long time. I think it's taken on. I'm just saying that it's going from, that ancient type of behavior to a whole nother industry. It's a big, big multi-trillion-dollar industry. They got companies that find women for you. Little girls or whatever you want, and it's a lot of money. A lot of money.
Yeah, of course.
It's crazy.
It sure is, because what happened is somebody has a business that is being, is making money off of all of this, while innocent children, as we should say, is suffering, because it's a case of children and the case of where we have to look at the humanity. Who is protecting these children? Even as I look sometime at what's going on at the border, where I saw these children. I mean, I don't know if you all saw this video this week, but it was quite frightening, where you saw two young girls, 7 and 9, were dropped over the fence. They were just dropped over. You know, so the trafficker or whoever had these girls just dropped them over. You just see, and they landed. Now, these two young ladies, the news didn't pick it up, but from inside journalism source, they were mutilated. So, I mean, look what is going on. You know, we have these young women. Their parents apparently is thinking, let me send them for a better time in America, and they're at the hands of these monsters. How could you pick up your 7-year-old or 9-year-old girl child and send them to America for a better life? As a mother, you're putting these...
Because they're very, those people are extremely poor. If you ever go over there, I've been there. My pastor opened up a school in Peru, Ecuador, and another place. I've got the name of the other country. But anyway, we went over there, and the poverty is so tremendous. One thing that they don't talk about, a part of the poverty, is the health care is bad. There's no education. A lot of the parents, when you talk to them, they never seen a day in a school. And so ignorance breeds a lot of indiscretion. So if you're not educated, you think it's good. Oh yeah, they're gonna take my a rich guy. So it's in Central South America, in the Spanish countries, Cuba, Brazil, it's normal for a family. Like I said, in certain countries, it's normal for them to just give you. You know, if I got 10 kids and I'm poor and I can't take them, it's normal for them to give their children out to other people. I don't believe in my heart the parents expect. The sexual abuse. I don't think they have that in their mind. They have in mind that maybe so certain amount of years over the culture, maybe a lot of them was given over to wealthy families as well. You know, and maybe they had a good experience or something. But I'm just saying that it's normal in those countries. Like I was in Bangladesh, it was normal to have 10 kids and give 3 kids to a rich family to work. You know,
well,
and it's normal
that.
For And
well,
it's normal
as
for like
parents,
a middle
probably.
Class family, a normal middle class person working at the government, mm-hmm. and a wife who probably might be a doctor or a lawyer, is normal for them. They're not rich, 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 but it's normal for them. It's easy to see them with 15 people working in their home, you know, because of the way that they translate labor to wealth.
Okay, yeah. Okay, Dr. Robinson, let me just bring in the scholar. Really quick, when we get back to our conversation, call it 347-907. You're on the line. You can join our conversation. Our topic of this evening, we're discussing whereby these relationship consultants and image consultants are using their platform to exploit women. Truly, we have a case of Derek Jackson. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, but give us your thoughts. Call it 347-907. Your mic is open.
Greetings, name of the Imperial Majesty Emperor King Celestia. Blessed love to each and everyone. Seeing I wasn't listening so attentively. Please could you run by the topic by me again?
All right. We're glad to have you on the line as well. You hold one second, let me open the mic for 347-801. Your mic is also open. And our topic of conversation, we're examining Derek Jackson, a relationship consultant who have used his platform to lure women into hotel rooms and various places where he can exploit them further. He is the guy that will tell you how bad this guy is that you have. You get rid of this deadbeat guy. But he himself was not even, you know, he wasn't even having a relationship where he could have control, and his mistress threw everything out in the air and it's all out of control. You can listen, caller. Let me see. Chaplain, this is 347-801. What do you have to say for us this evening?
Give thanks, honorables. Go to work, go to song, go to the present moment. Right now at this point, Empress Meninard Strong I give thanks for the subject. We're going to get to that subject as well. Empress Menin, Earth Strong, Earth Light, yesterday.
Yesterday, recognized.
March 25th to April 3rd, depends on the calendar. But I and I in this Western atmosphere, we celebrate April 3rd. And a little information about Empress Menin that I've put together for my thoughts. Empress Menin active in promoting matters pertaining to Ethiopia, women matters. She was a patriot of Ethiopian Red Cross, Ethiopian Woman Charitable Organization, a patroness of Jerusalem Society that arranged pilgrimage to the Holy Land. Empress Menin first founded Empress School for Girls in Addis Ababa, the first girls' school to receive a modern education, which was morning and days students gathering girls from around the empire of Ethiopia. And she actually makes sure that they graduate and active in the graduation ceremony. Sponsors program for the poor and disabled. She's very religious and spiritual, supporting Ethiopia Orthodox Tewahedo Church. She built and renovated several churches, sent out numerous. The Saints Gabriel Church in Addis Ababa, the Kidamore Church, the Holy Trinity Church Ministry Bank, the New Cathedral of Saints, Mary of Zion in Aksum, and the works goes on. And that foundation that was set is for the Empress of the Divine of this universe to uphold, continue, defend, and protect the foundation that has been laid pertaining to women matters. Empress Menin, give thanks for such of a mighty foundation. And the balance of the King of Kings, Empress First. Now, we're moving to spirituality. A speech by Emperor Selassie I. The temple of the Most High begins with the human body, which houses our life, the essence of our existence. Africans are in bondage today because they approach spirituality through religion, provided by foreign invaders and conquerors. We must stop confusing religion and spirituality. Religion is a set of rules, regulation, and ritual created by human, which were supposed to help people grow spiritually. Due to human imperfection, religion has become corrupt, political device, and a tool for power struggle. Spirituality is not theology or ideology. It is simply a way of life, pure and original, as was given by the Most High. Spirituality is a network linking us to the Most High, the universe, and each other. As the essence of our existence, it embodies our culture, the identity, nationhood, and destiny. A people without a nation they can really call their own is a people without a soul. Africa is our nation and is in spiritual and physical bondage because our leaders are turning to outside force for a solution.
Okay. Chaplain, want you hold it out one second, Chaplain? Let me just welcome this person. One second, and I'll bring you right back on. Call 347-737. You're one of our community this evening. You want to say a few words to us this evening, caller? 347-737, you're on the line.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, I'm not sure what the topic is. So I just came on and I was listening to the brethren. So I'm going to continue to listen.
Okay, I just want to welcome you. So after the brethren rock on the line. So, Chaplain, you have the mic. Your mic is open, 347-801. Your mic is open as you continue to tell us about, you know, religion and spirituality. But our topic of conversation, however, we are discussing what happens when a man cannot live up to his teachings. We are discussing Derek Johnson. He is a relationship expert and a kind of image consultant. What he was using his platform for, however, is to lure women, you know, broken women, helpless women who are having problems with their relationship. He would advise them that they can come to him. You normally see him in an apartment somehow or a hotel room. But what he did, these women already hurt and broken, he would lure them into sexual escapades. Now, this only came out 2 weeks ago. He'd been doing this business for a long time. And one of his mistresses, who probably felt she needed to upgrade, I guess, decide to out him on the story. So here he is, this man with a wife, telling you about all the deadbeat men that you have been with and how you should leave them, because he's been very hard on men as well. And here we're also discussing Mr. Matt Gaetz. He's an investigation as to whether he took a minor cross-country for sexual escapades as well, or what is going on with him. He's saying in one interview that all of this is a lie. But here we are seeing powerful men using their platforms, luring innocent women for sexual escapades, and we see the narcissistic qualities in these men. Now, a narcissist is a person who, of course, you know, denies everything. It's never them. It's everybody else's fault. I mean, my gosh, we had a story on a narcissist. So here we are discussing this topic, but our chaplain was giving us something about religion and spirituality. Chaplain, you know, you can continue as you go on with what we are talking about. We also reflect on the fact that it is Empress Menin Strong yesterday, and for our royal image that we should keep, we have the Royal Empress before us, understanding life and how we should do things. So, Chaplain, we thank you so much that you can continue with your conversation.
Is our nation and is in spiritual and physical bondage because our leaders are turning to outside force for a solution to African problem. When everything Africa needs is within her. When African righteous people come together, the world will come together. Speech by Emperor Selassie I. I could go to... one second.
But Chaplain, do you want to say anything on what is happening in this present here time?
Yes.
I don't know if you're familiar with Derek Johnson or Jackson, or if you want to say anything on the image consultant and how it is, you know, women are used in their deepest, lowest form to be dragged further into the rabbit hole with a man that you are somehow looking forward to helping you. I mean, you know, from a chaplain point of view, we know the only help is when I lift up my eyes onto the hill, someone's come at my help. That's Psalm 121. But for the regular, ordinary woman that, you know, she's out there, she's tired, she needs some comfort. And for a woman, we find comfort in a man, you know, as our companion, because we were made for each other. And we are seeing men who are powerful, who are stronger, using this type of platform to lure these women. And at the end of the day, they are just causing chaos and confusion. So this is what we are having at this time. What are your thoughts?
Right. All right. As I continue the thread, Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. meaning that all government upon his shoulder. And this is the Ethiopia World Federation, the lower chamber to legislate laws in America. Laws that are immoral to curb the abuse for our people. Our approach is to look at all the immoral laws that pass against the moral principle, the biblical laws, and instill, embrace, so we can have a better world. These things are happening because of the lawlessness coming from political government. It trickles down where it's all about getting the bag and woman and money and, you know, how it goes. The food that they eat, the spiritual is dim, the light is dim. So the whole liberty has been misconstrued, and we have to curb the abuse from the top. Organizations are dealing with rape, abuse, and such. That was alarm in Ethiopia. That was one of the things that were rejected from the Western atmosphere because of the women are being raped and abused from organization coming over. So now we have these organizations here, and they're using their authority to take advantage of the brothers and sisters. Entirety, it is a legislative action from the top. And give thanks for the moment. Glory to God.
Okay. Thank you so much. Call 347-907. Your mic is open. You want to add to our conversation this evening?
Yes, just a little thought. Most of these so-called rich men doesn't respect the laws of God, you know? Doesn't respect the Creator's laws and his commandment, or else they would respect women when they need help and come to them instead of abuse them and use them, you know? So these men are, you know, conscienceless, who they have. They have a lot of money, you know, and they are working for the devil also. So when one need help, and you should go to those who can. So when those who are supposed to be helping you is victimizing you and using you, this only just put the situation, you know, into a more detrimental. What these so-called men and people do to the poor and the needy. You know, instead of
yes, well, you know, as we talk about the special guy Derek Jackson, what he was a relationship expert, so he was someone that women thought highly of, because he would have the answers to your problems if you're having a problem with your significant other. So this Derek Jackson, he knew that there were these broken women, these vulnerable women, these weak women. And he used his platform to lure them, because when a woman needs help and she's having a problem with a man, she's glad to hear, you know, somebody tell her something to make her feel better. And at this time, we see this man really was just feeding off of their energies. And we see it happen a lot. So we wonder now, when you're feeling in such a low form and you run into a guy like that, you know, it's even worse for you after, because he's going to lift you up, of course. But then all was a lie. So everything was just a lie. He was found out 2 weeks ago, and here we are with him. So here we are on a Sunday evening. This is Sadie Gomez of the Ethiopian World Federation. Really thankful for everyone who's here. The mic is open. So call 914-363. Let's hear your views as we continue our conversation.
No, my view is that this is a history of mankind, you know, what man have been doing for many years, but it takes on different kinds of formation. Getz and Jackson, Derrick Jackson, Trump, you know, these guys, they feel powerful. They feel like, you know, they got all the money, they got political, social, economic power. And that they can, and most time when men get excessive power, unfortunately, not all men, they start to abuse their power, and a lot of people, like a Getz, young guy coming up, he probably feel, okay, in order for me to get into the power and the money, I have to participate with what they are doing. Birds of a feather flock together, so you know they feel they got to do what they have to do what everyone's doing, that they want to be a part of their clique. They want to be in that good old boy network, the billionaires club, you know what I'm saying? Situations where, you know, people got billions and trillions in power. Once man achieved money, and this new modern society now, in the new century that we're dealing with now, once man pertains money, and then he feels the next step is power, then the next step is control. So they exercise the right to get money and see how that works. Then after they get the money, they exercise the right to power. Then after they get power, then they seek control. So they exercise those things to see how they work. And they've been going on for years and years and years. And a lot of time it's passed over from one generation to the next generation, the concept of money and power. It's a concept. It's a psychology. It's a feeling. It's, you know. But that's been going on for years. Like the brother said before, this kind of abuse is not new. These people do this, and it's been going on for years. Now the only good thing is that it's being exposed. You know, that's the only good thing about it.
Yeah, well, of course, we have the internet, and the thing about the exposure, as we see in Matt Gaetz's case, he was actually paying these women through the app PayPal and whatever other payment services that the internet afford. So therefore, he made it open. I don't know if you know, people when they and behind their computer, they think it's just them and the computer, but forgetting it's the World Wide Web. Everything you do could be seen. Somebody can hack in or break in and know what's going on. So maybe long ago when they passed the cash just really quiet and simple, there was no trail. But now they are leaving these paper trails and they are getting caught up. And I think they don't want to get caught because nobody wants to know that they paid for the pie, although you know what the case may be. But we are seeing now in this present day time, having the internet, nothing is really hidden. Things are so much in the open. So how could you now hide? So here we are with these men still doing what they're accustomed doing. Not, and again, with power, you start to feel invincible. So this is a case where, too, they let their guard down, feeling this form of being invincible. So here we are, your mics are open, and anyone wishing to give a comment, sister, if you wish to come back in, 347-737, your mic is open, you can join our conversation. Caller 347-907, your mic is also open, you can join our conversation.
Yes, me again.
Yes.
These so-called rich men abusing their powers. You know, it's been going on for a while, you know. They're luring these ladies or people who in need like that. They're wanting to help them, and they really just want to destroy them, you know, for real. Who they have so much money now, they don't know that everything you do, there is going to be a action for every action. So their action is being exposed now. You know, as Bridget said, they feel so powerful. Who they have a lot of money and everything is in their favor, monetarily, financially, and ethically. So they do not know that the Almighty is going to expose them, you know. So I think they have been exposed by the Almighty, you know, and also the internet, you know, is playing a very good role too. They cannot hide anymore. They can't hide from the Almighty, and they can't hide from the internet. But they have been exposed now, you know. They are getting back their retribution, you know, beginning to see the real,
yes.
real them is showing now, you know.
Yeah. And also, too, what we should observe again this week, not to have it forgotten, but here we are watching again this week the George Floyd and the police man cases on the, it's right, but in Georgia is happening right now this week. And also, not to go unnoticed with the news as well, we have seen a second attack and the Capitol, whereby we see another gunman run into the area of the Capitol. One policeman was injured, one was killed. And we're examining this news again, but there's something quite strange about this news of the Capitol. What are your thoughts? Your mics are open.
Well, the first thing is they try to, the young man, some kind of demon, some kind of Al-Qaeda, some kind of terrorist. Then they try to connect, say, oh, yeah, he's connected with the Nation of Islam. So the normal criminalization of black men, and it's clearly the young man had a mental condition. It's clearly something psychotic was going on there in his behavior. And so it's clearly that it's a mental condition, something that see, a lot of people don't understand something. Trump don't understand. You can't put certain kinds of pressure on everybody because people have psychosis. They have psychotic behavior. They have anxiety. They have stress. You got people walking around, you know, you see all these people walking around kicking and fighting against these Asian people. It's a mental condition. It's sometimes it's hatred, yes. Sometimes it's racism, yes. But it's the way the mental person perceives the condition that he's in. He takes it a little different than you and I. Just like you and I can rationally think. We have ability to absorb information and digest it and say, okay, you know what? This makes sense to me. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to, you know, you have a rational a point of view, but there's people out there, they have no rationality. They have no, there's psychotic behavior is basically a person that's separate from the reality of life. You understand what I'm saying? So
right.
When you tell them, all Asian people brought the disease here, they get nervous and they get scared and they get anxious and they build up an anxiety and they build up an anger in them against those particular people just because you keep saying that. You understand what I'm saying? Trump, when he had that meeting with those people on January 6th, and he told them, go get the government back. Oh, they're taking your government. The crazy people in that crowd, they hear, I have to kill somebody. I have to tear down the whole damn government, and they're taking my government away. You understand? So they're not rational thinking people.
He gave them that trigger, yes.
Yeah, and they just, you see, because they can't handle it. A lot of these people walk around, and let's face it, a lot of these people are not under counseling, therapy, or nothing. So they're just walking around disengaged mentally.
And disturbed. And I, as you talk about it, I was very, very much disturbed and quite ashamed, really, when I watched the news and I saw this really... And I just, the new word now is sizable, black guy, kicked down this Asian lady. I was so hurt, you know, because he stomped on her, and clearly he was twice her size. And for a black man, that image, that was very disturbing. You know, I was really ashamed. That happened somewhere in Manhattan. But as you said, mental illness is on the rise, and these people with their problems, all they need is a trigger word. And the Asian community is under fire because everybody now have the disease, having heard it came from Wuhan. It had to come from somewhere, but it's not one innocent Chinese lady would have brought the disease. But
right.
The disease was originated somewhere.
Can I piggyback on that? What I want to say about that is this. It's a couple of things. Number one, the gentleman, the black fella that you're talking about, that stomped the that attacked the Asian lady. Horrific. It was an embarrassment to see. When you hear the first thing you say, we all say, and y'all can say it with me, oh my God, I hope he not black.
We all say it.
Oh, yeah.
And so then when we find out he is, then we're disappointed and embarrassed. But what I will say about this with that particular gentleman, now here is a case of a true mental illness, because that same gentleman did the same thing to his mother.
Yes.
You follow me?
Yeah.
So he was known to have mental illness. So here's a person who was mental ill before, and I don't know how much it was motivated by hate. I'm sure motivated by misinformation, the inability to reason correctly, and I'm not trying to make excuses for him, but I'm simply saying that this is the pattern. And if this fellow would do this to his mother, it suggests to me that this is not an incident that he would go, you know what I mean, just to attack this woman. He would attack her based on the information that he was getting, and because he couldn't process it, this was his reaction. Now, here's the other thing that I want to say about that. As much as we are concerned about the Asian people that are being attacked, and we are concerned, the reality of it is that the Asian people have not treated black people very well. And they have bought into the lie, okay, that was fed to them by white people concerning black people. Now that they know and understand that we have a common enemy, and that common enemy is really white males, if you want to be honest about
it, hands now.
They're suffering at the hands, of that enemy that we have been battling and fighting the whole time. So now they wake up and they see where because that was just one incident. All of the other incidents have been perpetrated by white people against Asian people. Okay,
now,
so yeah, go ahead.
I want to agree with you, and I'm sorry to cut you off with your thought. Listen, I grew up around this stuff, right? These people knew. We got to remember when Pearl Harbor was bombed, everybody with chinky eyes went into a concentration camp. All right. When they finish with understanding that a lot of these people, when they evaluate them, they finally evaluate them, they found out people were born in America. They were American-born Asian people, blah, blah, blah. A lot of them fought in the war, and they started to assess them. But in the beginning, how white man do his business, they just said, you know what, we're just going to get everybody. We don't care. You know, we're just going to lock every damn Chinese-looking, Japanese-looking, Korean-looking person because we can't trust them. That's the mentality of the American government, all right? Now, they got those people in there, and they finally made an adjustment to give them reparations and bring them back to society and say sorry. They gave them monies and made them upper middle class. The Chinese, the Oriental people was considered what they call model American citizens, but they were given money to do that. They were in school, they were making money, and they kept quiet. The Oriental people, the Asian people, Chinese, Japanese, Koreans, I can say this by experience. They, just like Dr. Winburn said, they bought into that concept. A lot of people come to America. Let's put the monkey out of here, because you don't solve problems unless you really face up to it. If you're an alcoholic, you have to say, I'm an alcoholic and I want to change my life. Let's talk about me as an African-American who grew up in the 50s, who grew up in the segregated South Carolina. There are many of people who came to America who overlooked me and didn't want to be around me, didn't want to talk to me because the white man told. And I'm talking about black people. I'm talking about black people now, okay? Let's be honest about it. Because they felt by being around a black American, or at that time we were the colored people, don't hang around the colored people. Don't be around because you're better than them. So a lot of people came to America with the ideology that they're coming here to get a better school, get better money, and be successful. And the white man told them, idea, if they stay away from me, the colored person, if they do not engage with me, if they keep up, because they're above me, they were told they're better than me. I'm just a cotton picker. I'm just a low class nobody. I'm on welfare. Didn't understand the history. Everybody telling me that come from other countries. All of them tell me, yeah, we study the history. We know the history. We know history. You do not know the history.
They have no clue.
Because they lied to me. They damn sure lied to you. So the same lie, and I'm trying to tell the people, come to me with the library and let me show you some authors of color. that have written the history in America. Come, let me show you the truth. And they, a lot of them say, oh, no, you know, y'all just making stuff up. So it's been quite a time. And I always say this. I'm saying this to say this. If everybody, if we didn't have racism on Plymouth Rock, if we didn't have getting people from Africa to bring them here to work as slaves and continue to see them as nothing, if we would combat that issue back in those days, the 1800s, the early 1900s, we wouldn't have this today. This is a manifestation of abuse. The same way that we said these white men abuse these women because of their power and their money, the same way racism is abusive. It's abusive because why? They got away with it. Everybody participated and pat them on the back and say, it's all right. Those niggas over there is no good anyway. And they came from all over. And I have personally, every university and college I went to, personally, I have foreign exchange students telling me that I'm not this and I'm not that. Don't even know the all in the Kool-Aid, don't even know the flavor. You understand? And I had to battle with my consciousness of who I am, because, you know, sometimes you hear something so much, you start to figure out maybe something is wrong with me. You understand what I'm saying? And it was, the battle was that I knew that I'm trying to show the actual history that happened. The white man is showing his story. Nobody listened to my story. No black person, no person of color, no person Asian or anything you want to call you, Caribbean, African, Asian. I'm calling it out. I know nobody gonna like me, but they did not come to my aid. They did not believe me. They believed the white man because they felt the white man loved them and loved me. I've had people from the Caribbean tell me in my face, white American don't like you, but they like me. They give me jobs. They take care of me. Of course, I have Asian people tell me, something wrong with you people because white people don't like you. I've heard it all, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend that people were nice and that everybody was supportive.
Only
a few people, when Dr. King had that march on Washington, it's a lot of people that got the understanding of the misuse of the abusiveness in America, because you know what happened is a lot of them faced it, and they went to march with Dr. King on that level. But I'm just saying to you, if we would have continued to fight, all of us people of color, to understand that if they abuse me, they damn sure are going to abuse you. But they had you thinking that you were better or important, they were loving you, they had something special for you. They're going to give you some extra money or something. I don't know what they were expecting, but I try to explain to them that this abuse is going to continue unless everybody step up, even poor white people, even white people in general. If we all would have stepped up, because right now, if you look at it, there's abusiveness against poor white people right now. A young white boy, quiet as a cat, cops shot him in front of his house because he just had a DWI. But they let him drive home, and when he got out of his car and walked to his house, they shot him. So the abuse don't stop with one person, because an abuser, once you get away with it, his psychotic behavior will make him continue to abuse everybody. Yeah, he's going to abuse everybody. But it's time now that all good people of goodwill, like Dr. King said many years ago, nobody must even listen, it's time for people of goodwill to stand up. When that lady was being by that big black man, when she was being hurt, the little tiny woman, everybody closed doors, walked by, act like it wasn't nothing. Somebody should have stepped up. Maybe they scared of him or whatever. I would have stepped up. I would, whatever, you know, I probably got stabbed, whatever it was, but I would have fought for her. That's me.
Let me just add something to your conversation, because mental illness is truly on the rise, and people are often, you know, faced with some real paranoia. I have seen a video. I mean, this is radio, so it cannot be uploaded, but I just want to share something that was very frightening for me this week as well. Someone sent me a video. A black woman was caught in a car park, and a policeman was asking her to stop. But meanwhile, he was tasing her. And she said, stop tasing me, stop tasing me. And he continued to tase her. And the woman, she just pulled out a rifle and she bounced 4 shots and knocked him down. And he's lying in the car park. Now he's on his radio bawling for help. And she just drive off. I mean, I didn't have to laugh or cry.
Listen, let me tell you something. People ain't going to allow you to beat them up. Cops ain't going to just beat people up
because they got a badge and a gun. You ain't beat me up. It's gonna be some fights. I think you know, it's unfortunate.
You know that lady died, right?
No. Listen, when they find her, she might be killed after, but she drove off. I have to send you this video, doctor. Huh?
No. I've seen the video. I'm familiar with the story. He shot her too. They shot each other.
Yeah.
She died.
Yes, I saw it too.
She died like 20
minutes later.
But the unfortunate thing, brother, is they are driving you to the point where you feel, and I feel the same way. I feel like a cop grabbed me.
I tell everybody right now, you need to start going to get your permit. Listen, they talk about the Second Amendment and changing the gun laws. You know when they're going to change the gun laws? When black people start getting guns. When we start filling out permits and we start getting guns and every black person got a firearm on his side, then they're going to go and they're going to start changing the laws then. But that's what we need, because we sitting around, and I don't know how to tell you, and I'm going to tell you this is kind of, that we are already at war.
You better learn some karate, learn how to break an arm.
We just don't realize that the war has already started.
Thank you.
Every day, all day, you can look at the footage. You can see the police getting wilder. You can see them, you know what I mean? It's just all outright. They don't care. And I'm going to tell you something else. I'm not convinced that this Derek Chauvin guy is going to be convicted.
No, he's going to walk. Something tells me Georgia is going to really have a war.
You better learn self-defense, people.
You better go.
You better learn how to break an arm, break a leg.
If he walks, the fire gonna stalk.
Listen. If he walks, here's what's gonna happen. We are already at war.
In Georgia.
We black people will be forced to take up arms and come against us, because what it's saying to you, excuse everybody, mind what I'm saying, is what the police and the authorities and everybody saying to black people is fuck you. You're nothing. We don't care about you. Learn nothing from you but your money. Sound,
what is happening now? This is the last nail in the coffin. King, no more. Last nail in the coffin.
And so it aggravates me sometimes when I see those of us that's in a position to do something, that's a part of organizations to do something, that can do something, and we don't do nothing because we're so busy squabbling over nonsense. And in the meantime, our brothers and sisters is dying by the dozen.
Yeah, you heard that new one, the girl from BLM. The head girl from BLM did a Cadillac commercial, and they said, oh, my God, look at her. She's selling Cadillacs. Who cares? Who really cares? You know what I'm saying? Who really cares? But let me tell you something, people. You better learn some karate. You better learn how to break an arm, a leg,
or something.
You better learn some physical defense, because trust me, I'm going to break a leg if I have to, an arm, or whatever I have to do, because if your leg is broke and you ain't dead, maybe they won't get me 100 years in jail.
You better prepare to fire some lead.
Yeah, man. Listen. Men are going to stand there, man, and beat me like child. It's not going to happen.
Hey, I rate that woman, although she ended up dead. I rate her so much. She was just smoking a spliff, you know, and he came and he said, I didn't do anything, and he begins to tase her.
Right, even for no reason at all.
He thought he died when he was tasing her, and she just reached for the gun, and he shot her when she shot him. But she didn't realize that she got shot. But I lift my crown onto her. Yeah.
Indeed. Indeed.
We have to get to that place
where we are not afraid to die. Because as long as I'm going to tell you something else. And I know everybody hate when I say this, but we have been brain twisted by religion, by the Christian religion, okay, that tell you to forgive those that do harm against you. And turn the other cheek. That's that white Christian ideology that they put in there to keep you in bondage.
To control.
You thinking that if you take the abuse from us now, well, in the good old by and by, when you get to heaven, you're going to get your reward. you do not want me to really say how I feel about that. Why do I got to get my reward?
Well, there's a lot of them waking up, brother. Trust me, there's a lot of them waking up. A lot of the churches are waking up, and they telling people, get yourself prepared. If you got to go to war, got to go to war. But a lot of them waking up. They got, you know, you're right. There's some of them that's still bounded by that psychology. But a lot of us are waking up to see for what it is. And I understand that, you know, a lot of black leadership, to me, is failing because they're not willing to call a spade a spade. They're not willing to call it like it is,
right,
and take prisoners.
Right.
Like Dr. Boyce Watkins said, it can't be no punk black man today. If you see something is wrong, you got to go to congressional hearings. You got to go on television and say, this is what it is. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't try to make it metaphorical. Don't try to find some Princeton or Harvard words to try to level it up. No. Call it nasty, call it dirty, call it what it is. And that's what the problem is. A lot of the black people, like you say, are so scared of losing whatever they got. And that's how the system works. And I keep telling people, the system
right.
works to give you X amount of dollars so that you will stay under their
right.
control. That's why you have these
right.
billionaires popping up like hotcakes right now, just to keep them under control. That's why you got all these churches getting all these grants monies and all these monies from government to open up this and that and the other. Why? Because you can't do certain – you can't – they keep you under their bondage.
Yeah, that's a God's order. That's
most,
a God's order right
people,
there, Dr. Robinson.
Yeah, most people are going through the deal because they feel that they have
right.
to – They have to present a certain kind of persona or character
right.
in order to continue right. to be considered somebody. Dr. Ben Carson is the biggest example. A Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas is a great example. They keep Dr. Ben Carson talking the other day. Oh, Dr. King was here today. He would be upset. You know the way they bringing out these things on black people. And I'm saying, Mister. What in the hell are you talking about? Your conversation his conversation is screwed up.
He's an idiot.
Dr. King would be upset with the black people out there and doing all these things, and then they're confining to all these black mythical lies about voting rights
being
taken away.
Dr. King would be upset with his sellout behind.
It's ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous.
But you know what? You know what
that's
I think it is?
That's what he would be disappointed about.
Yeah, more than religion, I think people, just what you said, people selling out for the dollar bill, y'all. They selling out for the money. They trying to keep that wealth. They trying to keep a certain position. If you watch people, you watch these rappers, they go from Brooklyn hood to millionaire in California and watch their behavior. From Brooklyn hood, a raw gangster rapper to, oh, yeah, I think that's really, really wrong. You know, the psychology change because what? These people that own the major labels, they indoctrinate them. You see them give them these big parties
right.
and get them this
right.
money. They psychologically telling them, you know what? You can keep making this money as long as you stay and understand your position, who you are, and keep your people in their place. It's all about that, and that's an unwritten word. It's an unwritten word, but they all understand it. And some people have been some. Let's face it, some black people have been hurt so much, till they become they concede to the enemy because they can't fight no more. When you lose a man lose his fight, he's gonna concede. You know what's up? What you need me to do? And there, a lot of them conceding to the enemy. In this country called America, and a lot of them just going along with the deal, just go along to get along. It ain't nothing benefiting them because of Uncle Tom and Aunt Jane in this America, there's no benefit for y'all. All of y'all is a damn fool because you ain't going to be accepted by your people, and the white man definitely don't want you on his side. He's using you. You understand? He's using you like a, you know, you're being used. Now,
we the world.
We have to stop saying things the way it is. We got to start looking at the community on the whole. Just like Sadie said, the man stomped the black man, stomped the Chinese woman, and she felt somewhere insecure. She felt bad about it, but she felt ashamed. I feel ashamed too, Sadie. But I know that ain't nothing in me. That ain't got nothing to do with me. The white man the white man kill every day. Every day they walk into a supermarket and shoot every damn body. Not a one white woman or one white man say they feel anything. Ask them. The man just killed 9, 10 people. He's Irish like you. Well, that's him. The man just killed 25 people. He's Italian like you. Well, that's him. The man just killed 55 people. He's German like you. Well, that's him. They have no connection to the bad sources.
They've all been arrested. They all been arrested. They, but then you had the one black guy that run into the police officer. He dead. All the black people dead. I want y'all to listen. I want y'all to fully get what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Unarmed black men are dead. We can go down the list. George Floyd, Brown, Michael Brown, Trayvon Martin, Castile. We can go on and on and on and on and on. And then we look, and none of them did anything. They were unarmed. None of them did anything. But then you look at the white boys, the mass murderers. Dylan Roof killed 9 people. He arrested. He alive. The guy in Las Vegas that shot up everybody. He alive. All of them, those, I mean, just think about it. And then think about who do all of the most horrific stuff. They have all got the same thing. They are all white men.
Who's paying them? We're the private company that's printing money. That we should oversee and put a stop into that as far as Rothschild. That's not a
I mean, listen,
that's not a bank.
Right. Well, yeah, well, I mean, listen, you know, you we got the Federal Reserve note, which is really, really funny thing because that's all brainwashing because it ain't no such thing as a freaking Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve
ain't
no more federal than Federal Express. It's a
right.
simple company.
Yeah, but what is it backed by? When you have the Federal Reserve, it's backed by what? By gold, by diamonds, by oil? What is it backed by? Just you printing paper? It's monopoly?
It's just paper.
Money has
it,
to be backed.
Back.
Yes.
You know what it's backed by? They tell you what it's
what?
Backed by. It's backed by consumer confidence. What does that mean? It's backed by how much we can make you stupid people believe that this money got value. When it
no,
don't.
If you're...
Okay?
Your
because
country
you're $100
oil,
bill...
Oil.
The $1 bill is printed on the same paper, and there is no difference in the value other than what you believe.
Mm-hmm. Well, he called himself, they call itself now in America, they call itself did a reset May 18th, May 15th of last year. They call itself did a reset of the American currency, and they're saying they're backing it by oil. That's what they say. I don't know how good
the
that
oil
is.
From
but
backing it by oil.
Yeah, that's what they
the
put it out. That's what they put it out there. Must
oil
be
is almost a useless commodity now. We've come to the realization that it's killing people. So we don't want to use it to fuel our homes anymore. We're going to use it to back the money.
Gays and lesbians is another economy that need to stop.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we got a lot of work to do, people. And what I'm saying tonight, I know we were talking about the guy that was lower than the women. And Matt Gaetz and all of them. But we got a real problem in our society, in my opinion, that's bigger than how much sex somebody is getting. Okay?
Or not getting.
And that is this. Our people are dying every single day.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
Every single day, the authority... All right, us killing black people by the dozen. And in this country, you need to understand the police force came about, the generation of the policing came about for catching slaves.
There you go. There you go.
All right. So the mentality have not changed. The worst part about it, the thing that makes me want to throw up, is when I see my own black brothers and sisters out there engaging in the abuse. And they've gone from
exactly.
being black to blue. And they have now become a part of the Ku Klux Blue Klan.
Exactly. Exactly. And trust and believe, when y'all hear all this different type of racism, they talking about, oh, the Asians, oh, they racist against the women, and all the lesbians and the gays are racist. All that is to defraud from the fact of the matter is the biggest level of gay, the biggest level of hatred and racism in this country started with us when they brought us here on Planet Rock to serve them. That was the beginning of the biggest level of hatred, racism, and even the professor, the Native American professor said the Constitution is a written law for systemic racism. Read that Constitution. The only person that Constitution represented was the landowners. and the landowners was right. rich white men. And that's all right. it is today. It's the same
it's about
from
property.
The beginning to now. So we're not going to get, don't expect that they're going to change or they're going to tell me, because they're going to keep trying to find another big topic so they can stop talking about. Because remember, we're supposed to be discussing in the American government, the congressional hearing, the systemic racism against black people in America and changing the laws. That's what they talked about. What's his name there? Biden talked about when he get into office, he's going to look into the systemic racism in the Constitution, in the policing, in the judicial system, which is the courts. He's going to check all that out.
Now look. But wait, Dr. Robinson, look, I heard today, you can correct me if I'm wrong or if this misinformation, because I'm only telling you what I heard or I saw somewhere, that already the Biden administration has set aside reparations for Asian people for the abuse that they are experiencing now, and still no one has said a word about reparations for black people.
Yeah, that's a double dip. Because if they gave it to them during the 50s in Pearl Harbor, they gave it to the Chinese, the Japanese, the Koreans.
My point
all of them
is
got money.
That we don't show our natural born behind after we put this administration in office.
They're gonna trust me to not talk about the situation here with African Americans in America and slavery, as it's been told in England, that England has been England has been shown to be guilty of this slavery. America is guilty, and everybody else, the Dutch is guilty, the Scottish is guilty, the Germans are guilty. Just going down the line. But this American government, they are not going to. They trying everything they can. To not and they leaked the tape where Biden was
and
saying
here's
to the black
reason why.
Yeah, they leaked the tape where he was saying he didn't want to talk about it.
Right. He didn't want to talk about the reparations. Look, here's the problem. At the end of the day, they know, okay, that as well as the transatlantic slave trade that bought black people from Africa, the children of Israel, okay, from Africa here, there were those of us that was already here. All right. And they tried to change the name, okay, and change the look of them and called them Indians. Which to me, if you don't realize that you're part of this land, you own this land, all right? You know that the Indians are black. Just ask the West Indians. Okay? So they know that they not only did they bring the slaves here, but the black people that was here owned this land. So they've taken us. I mean, the travesty. The level of degradation and debauchery is on layers on top of layers. Their evilness.
Yeah.
You got to peel back their layers of evilness to kind of get to the truth of what was going on and how they've distorted things all of this time.
You're right.
You know what I mean?
And the sad thing about it, brother, is we not sensible enough to divide and conquer. We ain't got sense enough to come together. We still talking about, oh, he from there, he from there. No, we all black. I don't care where you come from, Caribbean, Africa, if you come from South Carolina, the moon, if your skin is black, you in this war. We have to come together. We have to learn as black people to come together and fight. If something go wrong in the Caribbean, let all of us get together and go over there and fight. If something happened in Africa, let all of us get together and fight. If something happened in America and it's black people, let all of us get together and fight. Because once they see us fighting, all of us from across the world, it scared the hell out of them when they heard Black Lives Matter in Dutch town, Dutch, in a Dutch town, and they heard it in Belgium. They heard it in Germany. They heard it in France. They got scared as hell because they said, doggone it, these people are waking up all across the world. When black people get together from all over the world, when we unite and say this is not going to happen again, we got power. We got the greatest power. The greatest economy in England is the black people. We got the greatest economy in America is black people. We're the greatest economy. Right. Africa supplies all the natural resources to all the world. If Africa would have locked their doors years ago, Europe would have been dead. America would have been dead, brothers and sisters. Spain and all these other countries would have been dead because Africa is the source of all natural resources to sustain man and keep man alive.
Right.
So if we got together as a people and we stop giving away everything to them crackers and we stand up, and I know there's some good ones out there, but unfortunately all the good blacks had to suffer with the bad blacks, the same thing going to happen. All the good whites might have to suffer with the bad whites, but we have to come to a resolve of this problem. And the only way we're going to resolve it, brothers and sisters, we got to come together. Because if we come together as an army and we fight from the shores of Caribbean to the shores of Africa to the shores of Europe to the shores of America, if all us black people get together and start fighting, the white man will start acting like a small child.
Yeah,
all they are is our small child.
Okay, Dr. Robinson, I just want to squeeze in. I want to squeeze in our queen here, 646-363. Our mic is open. Our topic for this evening.
I was so enjoying the passion I was hearing coming from Dr. Robinson.
No,
I was like,
that's one of your favorite, but I wanted
Thank
to hear
you,
your
my
voice. She truly enjoy you, so you all can work it out. You have 15 minutes.
I love to hear the sister. I would love to hear the sister.
Right,
yeah, I love to hear the queen. Go right ahead, queen.
But, you know, it's really such a powerful statement that you were making, because if we look back at the history that we have had, Haiti was the first to really start the revolution.
Right.
And when Haiti did, then there were many uprisings even before, but because Haiti was successful, we had, you know, that whole complete overhaul happening. However, we have to remember that their genocidal ways are very prevalent. It's maybe in their nature. I don't know. It's like white blood cells. I don't know. They just, you know, designed a particular way. But when you think about it and you look at the pernicious ways that they have treated places like Haiti, you know, different African countries, pretty much it was our idea of preserving life, because they have no such compulsion to say, you know, okay, this is where we'll draw the line. We'll do you this, but we wouldn't do you that. They don't have that. They don't have that gauge. That's the gauge that's missing. And that only happens when you're spiritual. And they are not. They might be religious, some of them, but they're not spiritual.
What I see from that, the central government, the CIA, set up parties in the whole Caribbean. And these parties that they set up before that, in 1763 in Guyana, you have coffee that defeat the Dutch. And when he defeat the Dutch, he had used two Dutchmen with him, Maroon, and two Dutchmen to defeat the Dutch, 1763. We have many ways that in the history that we have been victorious in our battle. And the CIA, they will flood the land so the black man couldn't farm. And they use that as a stigmatism and say that they are lazy. And they bring in the Arabians and the Indians to control the commerce and trade. So we know that the first edge that the European had was indulging in the black man business, where they in the slave trade prisoner war. And that was the edge of economy. With that economy, it was used as a leverage as well to control. They were supposed to help. The whole initiative was to help, but they abused that. And we do have reparation within our constitution, and that's how we proceed as far as the reparation goes. Yeah.
We have to, we
you
have
think
to each
we
one.
Have reparation?
Huh?
Do you really believe that, you know, we have reparation?
Yeah, there's a government that it's stated in the Bible, Isaiah 9:6. It's been granted unto us since 1937 for protection and benefits. And we, the people, come together and function the government. We are the government, and that's how we will prevail.
Be conscious of what's going on in your background. We're getting a lot of clicking noise, like somebody got a can or something.
I think somebody's making a cup of tea.
Okay.
Well, they need to use a silent tea.
Mute yourself.
Oh,
well,
boy.
Well, you know what? I want to bring this up as some information for everybody. You know, myprojectneo.org have a reparation program for us to all join in. You know, and I would suggest everybody go to the site myprojectneo.org, and look around. You know what we're doing, how we're committed to the international community as well as local community, and how we're going to make changes amongst ourselves. You know, the act
Can
of
you
kindness,
repeat it slowly?
My project, projectneo.org.
I only reached up to my project and nothing came up.
My project, project, neo, N-E-O,
.org.
Neo, oh, yeah, Miss Neo.
Neo.org.
Okay.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, listen, and I like to say this also, each one of us must teach each one reach one. We all have to take the responsibility to encourage each brother and sister, and also educate each brother and sister as we go along to unite together. At least one final analysis. We don't have to all be the same religion, all the same money, all the same academics, all the same background, but we have to learn that unity is power, and it's going to change our situation. So let's try to unite each other. Let's try to unite together. Let's try to find commerce and common business together. Let's try to develop, you know, business with the Caribbean and Africa and America, blacks all across the diaspora, doing business together, building each other up economically. Because a lot of it is financial. Because when people ain't got money, they're going to fall for anything they can get, because a hungry man is an angry man, and an angry man ain't rational. So we need to get that solved as well. But sister, you found the site?
Yes, I did. And I'm
okay,
happy
great.
To hear you say, you know, that we should be getting involved in commerce. We have a very prevalent black, I don't want to call him an activist. I guess he would want to call, he's very influential. And what I hear him continuously pushing is for us to, the market is going to crash and we should be ready to buy up stuff. Why are we buying up stocks in somebody else's failed businesses? And how do we know that when the business crash and we buy the stocks, that is going to be worth anything going forward? We have no prediction over that.
Well, some ideologies are that, okay, when you buy up and you own and you control, you can do business amongst yourself. So there's a dying business. Let's say there's a dying business in honey. Matter of fact, in honey, and we buy it up,
we can sell to each other because we're the largest consumers in the world. We anywhere in the world.
That, but think about it. Think about it. And I want you to understand what I'm saying. If let's say we have a business, the business crash, the stock, the price of the stocks went all the way down. Somebody decides, okay, you know what? Let's all buy up these stocks. Okay? They buy up the stock. You and I are the only ones that decide if this thing is getting back off the ground or not. We're the only ones that know what assets we have, what could be liquidated, what's cash on hand versus what's stocks on hand. So somebody buying up our stock, all they know is that our stock price dropped, but they don't really know what we have on hand.
Yeah, the ideology is that when stocks fall, when business fail, it's through consumerism. When the consumerism is low, when there's nobody purchasing your items or your product, so you lose data, which is the data that says that your stock is going up and you're making more money, and you lose consumerism, which says that people are coming to your place and spending their money. Now, I know we got another second, but I'm going to try to put this quick. If we are the largest consumers of products and services throughout the world, and somebody else is failing because there's nobody consumerizing, when we buy it, all we have to do is support it. Black on black and business support. You know, black business, black people supporting black businesses will move our stuff up economically. So I guess the guy was saying, you buy a failing business.
Can I piggyback on that right quick? I think that what both for everybody is saying is correct. But we only got a couple of seconds left, so I just want to say this one thing. That is one of the beauties of Project Neo and the program and the self-reparation program that we're looking at and that the site that you just went to, because it's allowing us to create economic wealth amongst ourselves and circulating money and currency amongst ourselves the way the system is set up with black businesses and black people. So I understand that one of the ways that we could really, really begin to gain our independence and respect is when we are self-sufficient, when we don't have to ask anybody for anything, when we don't have to beg them for their money, for their cheese, or for their stimulus. What the Project Neo system does is allow us to create that financial freedom and security for ourselves, by ourselves, and amongst ourselves. So I encourage everybody, go by the site, look at the reparation missions, look at the reparation packages, and say, listen, I want to contribute. I want to be a part of this United Negro Nation. I want to contribute into this national treasury so that we can begin to create this money amongst ourselves. Look at it. Follow the money. If you go to the site, you can follow the money. You can see how you fit in, and you can see how it can be beneficial to you. I just wanted to get that in because that's very important. Please go by and check it out. We have put it together. We have not opened it to the general public yet. We have been just running the beta amongst family and friends. But since Dr. Robinson was so kind to introduce it to everyone tonight, we encourage everybody to go by, look at it, and become a part of what we're doing. We're out of time, just
okay.
about.
Come to it, but we're really, really, really out of time. I am here. This is Sadie Gomez, the Ethiopian World Federation, signing off. Have a wonderful night.
Perfect love.
First, bring me my sons and daughters from afar.
everyone that is called by my name, Rastafari. In the form of 500 families, to occupy 500 acres of land, to establish a model city to the world, in the land of Ethiopia. The Ethiopian World Federation was established in the United States of America by His Imperial Majesty Emperor Haile Selassie I. This is not a calling for the United States, it's a calling for all the children of the diaspora.
Call to set your people free.
Set your people free.
It's a call.